Coming up on podcast 1146, well, this is unfortunate. Rivian has to delay deliveries again, this time to September. Stick around, I'll tell you more. Also on the podcast today, we are talking about Honda wanting to work with others to make EVs. Foxconn, the famous Apple phone assembler, and their battery plans. And also what GM are doing for fleets. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you're listening in the world. Happy weekend. Welcome to EV News Daily for Saturday, 17th of July. My name is Martin Lee, and I go through every EV story so you don't have to. Starting with our headline story today. This one's a real shame, actually. Rivian has delayed the first deliveries of the long-awaited R1T. The all-electric pickup truck, the R1S, the SUV, was always going to come after this one, only by a month or so. This time, though, beginning of September. Well, sometime in September. A reminder, Rivian were going to ship in 2020, then in June, then they were very confident in July. Rivian CEO RJ Scaringe broke the news to buyers in an email yesterday morning. The Verge reporting that the Amazon and Ford-backed startup originally planned to start deliveries of both the R1T and the R1S last year, but COVID, pandemics, plans being scuttled, and now it's September. The boss also copped to poor communication with reservation holders. Now, Rivian was founded back in 2009 and took a while to find their groove, really. But when they did finally decide to go down this route of these vehicles, they were able to attract investment, had a very low profile until 2018. And at the LA Auto Show, when we saw these vehicles, after that, they were able to keep raising cash. More than $8 billion from the likes of Amazon, Ford, and institutional owners. I'll pop a link to The Verge in the show notes to get the full lowdown on this story, but I do have some extracts from the email. Quite a lengthy communication from the CEO, actually, to the reservation holders. He said various things, but including, and I quote, "We know you can't wait to get behind the wheel of your vehicle. Earlier this summer, we announced deliveries would begin in July. However, the timing for the first deliveries of the R1T has shifted to September, with the R1S shortly thereafter in the fall. I wanted to be sure you heard this from me directly. The cascading impacts of the pandemic have had a compounding effect greater than anyone anticipated. Everything from facility construction to equipment installation to vehicle component supply. Beyond these unforeseen challenges, launching three new vehicles whilst setting up a multi-vehicle manufacturing plant is a complex orchestra of coordinated and interlinked activities. We now have built hundreds of vehicles as part of our validation process, with many of those spotted out in the wild covered in our unique vinyl wraps. I've been asked why we aren't delivering those vehicles, or why we continue to test rather than deliver. We believe it's critical to both our long-term success and your ultimate satisfaction. The quality and robustness of our launch products truly sets the tone for what to expect from us as a brand," end quote. So a little bit of shade, I think, at the end there being thrown towards, anyone that you can possibly think of that comes to mind that tests their products on their customers. Tesla. So Lucid do it as well. Lucid like to poke Tesla. And I think there's a little bit of shade being thrown there to say, hey, we could ship these cars. But as we've seen when Tesla do ship with early cars, there's often things wrong with them. They always make it right, by the way. They will happily admit, you're a beta tester. Elon Musk has said in the past, don't buy our cars in the first, was it 6 months of a production run? I forget the exact amount of time. But even he said, look, you've got to be a pretty strong stomach to buy our cars. Whereas Rivian saying, look, we want to behave more like a traditional car maker, which is to do all of that testing to get it right. And then the cars that you get are of a real high quality. So I'm sure it'll be disappointing news to my listeners who have those reservations in. Not a car that we can get over here in Europe yet, but they do have plans. We reported on that a few days ago on the podcast. You can always check out the blog, evnewsdaily.com. Little search box at the top of the page. If ever there's a topic of interest to you, or you hear a story, or you'd like to go back and read it again, or the source articles that we find, feel free to do that. Next, Tesla Model S cars that are slightly older are going to lose their connectivity. If you've got a pre-June 2015 Model S, only going back 6 years. Of course, in mobile phone terms, in handset terms, 6 years is an eternity. In car terms, it's not. And it's going to be something that we have to get used to in the brave new world of connected cars, where just 6 years after being built, the cars lose their connectivity. The Model S is going to lose features in their vehicle. AT&T, so of course it's not a worldwide issue, but AT&T is shutting down their 3G network. Due to the recent phase out of older cellular networks, the Model S vehicles built before June 2015. Still operating with the old MCU chip, can't connect to LTE networks, and AT&T's decision to shut down the 3G network that they operated from 2004 to 2022, Feb next year is when it all gets cut off. But if you don't have the upgrade in your Tesla Model S, your MCU2, you lose connectivity. But of course, if you park it outside your house and you've got Wi-Fi, then you do that. Yeah, that connectivity comes back, but that's not particularly useful if you need to access things when you're on the move. According to Teslarati.com, they write that infotainment upgrades for owners who drive the older S and X can purchase the MCU2 upgrade for $2,000 unless Autopilot 2 or 2.5 is installed. If it is, it's a cheaper upgrade. It's $1,500. MCU2 makes the whole thing very snappy, and you get Tesla Arcade, streaming music, YouTube, Netflix, Hulu, driving visualization, the dash cam, all the shebang. You want it, but still, it is that situation that I do find a little bit, well, just head-scratching. It's a six-year-old car. It's not exactly an antique, and yet it's already becoming obsolete. Well, no, not completely. You can still use the car, but you know what I mean by that. Like, a core functionality is gone unless you pay another couple of $1,000s to upgrade. Different for a smartphone that costs you a few hundred. Well, I mean, the new ones are thousands. But a car? You think it would last longer than 6 years. But hey, maybe that's the brave new world we're living in. Okay, keep listening to the podcast, because soon we're going to talk about how Foxconn, the makers of iPhones, want to get into the EV business. Maybe with Apple. And why GM are expanding to solve fleet problems. Stick around. We'll tell you more soon. Now we'll talk about Honda and the new chief executive of Honda, saying yesterday the Japanese automaker wants to form alliances to make electrification profitable. If through an alliance Honda can accomplish early what it should aim to be, he said, then we'd be willing to form an alliance. His name is Toshihiro Mibe, who took the job in April, telling a press briefing when he was asked about global alliances. His comments reflect the pressure on the global auto industry, says usnews.com. And it's all about sharing technology and costs and meeting demands for cleaner vehicles. He has assumed the top role at Japan's second largest automaker at a time of growing shift to e-mobility. Honda are behind the game, and you don't make those kind of comments, which is to say, you know, hey, we'll work with someone if they want to hold our hand, you know, that kind of thing. If you are self-confident in your own R&D, that you've been doing it for the last however long, that you've got products and a roadmap coming to market, you can do it all yourself. By the sounds of it, those kind of companies, they're not there yet. I mean, of course, they'll talk hydrogen as long as you'll listen. But with EVs, you know, certainly Toyota and Honda, and there's some other companies as well that, yeah, I mean, I'm not worried. It's not my money, not my company. But I love those brands, and Honda makes some great cars, and I just like them to be around a little bit longer. But if they don't make EVs, or compelling EVs, because, you know, anyone can make an EV. You can buy parts off the shelf and put it together. If you don't make compelling EVs, I don't know how you fight the incoming technological advances from South Korean, from Hyundai, Kia, Genesis. You know, they're doing amazing things. And from the Chinese makers that have got big ambitions to sell in the West as well. And some of them already are doing. So let's talk about Foxconn. They are probably most famous. I mean, they assemble consumer goods like nobody's business, but you may well know them for making the iPhone. Very famous for that. Disclosed that they are investing in a Singapore-based battery maker called SES. They make lithium metal batteries. Now, the move comes closely on the heels of Foxconn's plan to invest $35 million, you heard me correct, $35 million in Giga Solar, which will, the fund from Foxconn will expand its production for battery anode materials. The shareholders in SES include SK Innovation, General Motors, Hyundai, Kia, right? So it's got some big backing from some big names, says DigiTimes. SES makes the most competent battery packs. They have 400 watt hours per kilogram high energy density, more likely to go into mass production than something like the QuantumScape battery, which seems further away. Hyundai reportedly investing $100 million, GM investing $100 million, installing their own production lines at SES, with the investment looking to be paid off with technology working into the cars from Hyundai and GM, and by the look of it, Foxconn. And why would Foxconn want to get into the EV game? Well, that is if one of their closest partners, Apple, was looking to get into the EV game. And of course, Apple has said that, well, they haven't said this. Let me rephrase that. I can imagine that if the story is true, Apple would want those batteries made in the USA, even if the cells are made elsewhere. Then I can see how Foxconn could bring some value to that party as experts in assembling consumer goods. It just makes sense. Moving on, Ford and VW are proving that bums in seats equals smiles on faces. It's the Chicago Auto Show at the moment, and it's half the size and half the time of the traditional show. But Ford and Volkswagen and others are there at the moment. And not only are they showcasing their electric vehicles, but they have a plan to convert you to be an EV fan, and that is to get you inside one. Offering test drives and rides in new EVs, auto executives believe such experiential marketing is one of the key steps to increasing EV adoption, writes CNBC.com. Getting consumers into the Mach-E and allowing them to see new EVs on the stand, if not drive them, like the Ford F-150 Lightning, expected to go on sale next year. That's critical for people to understand EVs. The fact that they're real, they're not science homework projects, some, you know, voodoo tree-huggy thing. They're out there, they're real, and they're brilliant. So well on Ford, well on VW for offering test drives of those cars at the Chicago Auto Show. I'm looking forward to Fully Charged Outside, which is, you know, we missed Fully Charged, and it's moving to a new venue, I'm pleased to say, slightly closer to me, which is, you know, convenient. But either way, obviously, big pandemic here at the moment. Numbers are going through the roof. I think we just topped today or yesterday the worldwide tally of new infections, even though, you know, the rollout program has been good. So that's obviously a big concern. But the event is going ahead outdoors, so that does, you know, make people feel a lot better if it's not, you know, indoors. But I know that there's going to be so many people driving an EV, test drives at Fully Charged Outdoors this year for the first time. They've done it before in previous years, but I think the move to a new venue now is one of those things that will give them more space and allow them to just get more bums in seats. And we talk about it all the time. The minute you get somebody inside an EV, it often just makes sense. And you can explain to people all the time, intellectually, make arguments about how they're better, but make them feel it, and that is the way to get them to know EV. Fully Charged Outside is the 3rd to the 5th of September, and I'll see you there, of course, for the whole event if you are coming along to that. Next, the Chinese EV maker BYD are releasing a new car called the Dolphin, and they've got plans for this to be sold far and wide, not just in a domestic market. The pricing is going to be around $15,000 equivalent. It's an 800-volt system. It'll be the cheapest car you can buy with an 800-volt architecture. And at the minute, offering 400 kilometers of range, but I wouldn't be surprised if they offer a little bit more. BYD's Dolphin looks a bit like a Honda Fit, in some markets called the Honda Jazz, and it'll be affordable, maybe around $15,000 equivalent. Dolphin have got two versions. There's the standard range, which will do 301 kilometres. The battery pack is 30.7 kilowatt hours. There's the long range. That will do 405 kilometres from a 45 kilowatt hour battery pack. Big caveat, any DC test cycle. So, hey, some would say half it. I don't think I would go as far as saying half those ranges. So, you know, half would be 150 and, you know, 200 kilometers. But maybe two-thirds, or maybe three-quarters if I'm being really generous. I think that car, if you're going to sell it outside of China, it needs a 500 kilometer range. And that would, and so maybe you're talking like a 50 something kilowatt hour battery, because I think just to be taken seriously in some markets, you know, 405 kilometers is still 250 miles, good enough for some. But hey, if the price, so if that's, you know, 250 miles NEDC, so that's 170 miles on another test cycle, 150 real world, that might be okay if BYD sell the Dolphin, maybe in Europe, which I think is part of their plan, outside of China, at, again, a very affordable price. So you've got to think about different segments of the market. Lots of people contact me, or I see these comments on chats and forums from people saying, I'd like to drive an EV, but they're too expensive. Well, if there's the Dacia Spring on the market and the BYD Dolphin on the market, which is going to take you, you know, 150 miles odd, and it's maybe 120 for the short range one, but it's going to cost 15 grand. Well, by the time you do monthly payments, most people do monthly payments, well, all of a sudden, you know, those arguments start to go away. It won't be as cheap as buying a second or third hand diesel car with 100,000 miles on the clock. It just won't be yet. But EVs are making their way to the second hand market, and the more new ones that are sold, the more come in at the top of the funnel, and the more second hand ones that'll be available. I still think maybe it needs a bigger battery, but you know, maybe 45 kilowatt hour is what they go with if the price is cheap. GM Friday, announcing the expansion of their what they call Ultium Charge 360. That is their charging initiative, and it's aimed at businesses and fleets, and they are helping to accelerate EV adoption in business customers. Ultium Charge 360 gives businesses and fleets access to a network of what they call preferred charging providers. It's a bunch of smaller networks that have all kind of clubbed together to be part of Ultium Charge 360. Experts, according to the DetroitNews.com website, see commercial customers as strong candidates for early adoption of electrification, given the potential cost savings on everything from fuel to maintenance that EVs promise. Automakers see commercial customers as key sources of new revenue streams. Ultium Charge 360 for fleets will also support home charging. So many employees take their work van or their work vehicle or their work truck. They have to take them home because there's nowhere to store them overnight. And the GM plan will also provide those people with access to home charging and 60,000 public charging stations. Porsche are next in the news. Porsche is on pace to double the Taycan sales. 40,000 units this year is on the horizon as electric becomes an increasingly important part of Porsche's lineup. Announcing today they've delivered 20,000 Taycans in the first half of the year. So it's pretty reasonable to think, well, they can do that in the second half of the year. Porsche said the all-electric Taycan celebrates a special success. 19,822 vehicle deliveries. It is just under the level of 2020 as a whole for just a half of a year. By this, the latest member of the model range is on par with the sports car icon, the 911. Electrek reporting that the Taycan is quickly becoming the most important non-SUV vehicle in Porsche's lineup. Yeah, it is. But hey, wait for the Macan Electric to arrive. I know it is that SUV style, but it's going to be wildly popular in electric form. Next, homes with an EV charge points are worth more, according to this article in a Scottish newspaper called the Daily Record. A survey by Rivervale Leasing found that homes on the market with EV charging already installed were worth 13% more than the average of houses around them. And I find that staggering. I can understand a couple of hundred quid being added, or the convenience of it, or them just being more marketable because, you're not talking about a 10 grand solar system here on the roof. You're talking about a charger. This survey did conclude that more Brits are looking for electric cars as well. 90,000 searches a month online right now, and that EV chargers are a valuable marketing tool of potential home sellers and for home buyers, says the Daily Record. They analysed 1,000 house prices in 50 UK areas, and homes that have electric EV charging installed worth more than the average. And according to the Office of National Statistics, it could add tens of thousands. If the average price of a house, obviously, you know, mileage varies, it would add £20,000. And I don't believe this story. I think it adds something. I can't see it adding that much to a house. Maybe, I don't know, maybe I may have misunderstood this research. Maybe, I don't get me wrong here, the kind of people who have EVs, maybe their houses are worth more. God, that sounds snobby. I'm just saying that EVs are more expensive to buy at the moment. EVs are not a plaything for people with spare money, because by no means are we wealthy, but EVs are certainly something that you have to find the money to do, if that makes sense. Right? You really have to want an EV. They are more expensive to buy new if you're a cash buyer. The monthly prices are greater than the cheapest way to go motoring. And so, I don't know, I'm just floating that idea. Maybe, you know, not being snobby, but maybe the kind of people who have an EV, maybe their houses are worth more. I don't know. Maybe I'm just digging a massive hole here. Let me know if you think I'm a massive hole anytime you want to. Next, we'll talk about Zero Motorcycles launching the new FXE. I love the look of this. The Zero company has given their electric supermoto some pampering. They've dropped the idea of a removable battery for a larger integrated pack. The FXE also cuts the price. You're looking at the same motor from the FX and the FXS, so 46 horsepower. Not huge, but look, enough for a top speed of 85 miles an hour, 137 kph. Thermal management will slow you down to 75. The FXE uses a 7.2 kilowatt hour battery pack. For daily commutes, probably fine. Because the range around town, 100 miles, 160 Ks. But if you put it on the highway, if you're doing 70, it's going to do about 40 miles, I'm afraid. Not the biggest, but, you know, I think so much fun to be talking about two-wheeled EV transport. Next, the VW ID.4 Max. That has gone on sale in the UK, £48,510. I don't know why I should feel so bad about saying that EVs are expensive and that, you know, you've got to have some money to buy one, because look at that. It's a VW ID.4, pretty average family vehicle, £48,000. That's huge money. Anyway, it is the Max trim, the sporty version of the SUV. The GTX is now available to order in the UK. The Go Faster model has two variants, standard GTX and GTX Max. 295 brake horsepower, 0 to 62 dash in 6.2 seconds, 77 kilowatt hour battery pack, and the GTX Max doing 291 miles, slightly down on the GTX of 301. But hey, look, it's a 300 mile EV. What more do you want? 125 kilowatt rapid charging, and, you know, plug that in at a low state of charge, go grab a coffee, come back, jobs are good, and Bob's your uncle. Let's talk about question of the week this week with eMobilityNorway.com. Reading out yours on Sunday, it's exactly that. If you are stopping, how often and how long do you stop for? Not to charge, forget EVs now. If you're on a road trip and you want to stop for a break, how long do you stop for? Are you a 5-minuter or are you a 1-hourer? Let me know. Hello at evnewsdaily.com. Thanks to everyone who supports on Patreon. Couldn't do it without you. Thank you very much to our premium partners. Well, by the way, if you want to check it out, I mean, you're more than welcome to. But we did recently put ads into the podcast. You may have noticed. Not everyone gets them, depending on where you live. But for those who can't support on Patreon for budget reasons, people have said to me, look, I want to support you somehow, but I can't afford Patreon to do monthly. Well, hey, look, I hope you don't mind. The ads are on. I mean, just hit forward 30 seconds, you know what I mean. So, if you want to support the show, The ads are on it now. If you want an ad-free feed, you can sign up to be, you know, anyone on Patreon gets the ad-free feed. It is patreon.com/EVNewsDaily. Phil Roberts of Electric Future, our premium partners, Brad Crosby, Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, nationalcarcharging.com and alohacharge.com, Derek Riley from the EV Review Island YouTube channel, Richard at rsev.co.uk for buying and selling EVs in the UK, and emobilitynorway.com. Now have a great weekend. I'll catch you for Sunday's edition tomorrow. And in the meantime, always remember, there ain't no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.